Hello and welcome to the Sporting Limerick podcast. And today it's the same as last week. Don O'Sullivan of the Limerick Post and Jerome O'Connell of the Limerick Leader joining myself, Lee Maharan of Live 95 FM for this week's Sporting Limerick podcast. We're going to have a look back on the GAA sporting year in just a couple of moments and see whether it finished. Well, it did finish on a high, I think, with the 21s and the Pearshaig. But before that, a quiet enough weekend, I think, coming up. Bar Munster Connacht on this weekend, Interprovincial Derby at Thomond Park, one where the fans will come out in huge numbers, even though Jerome O'Connell says it doesn't matter who shows up to matches anymore. It's all about the sport on the field. But looking forward to this one. Two top two sides in the Pro 12. Surely you should be smacking your lips at this.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Oh, God.
Look, yeah.
Be Dan good. The cynic is back.
No, I'm not being cynical. I'm not looking forward to it because I'm not going. I'm going to be on the bus on the way down from Ballymena because AIL is on at the same time. So, Connacht are top, deservedly so. 6 wins in 7 games. Munster 6 wins in 7 games. And the talk during the week was that they want to finish ahead of each other in the table and the usual, you know, kind of bingo words that are thrown out at any press conference. But it's a huge game for Munster in the sense that should they lose at Thomond Park to Connacht, you know.
Who've never won in Limerick?
1986, I think. Well, they've never won the professional area.
Okay, yeah.
They won in the pre-season game down here. Just be interesting to see where both teams are at, because if Connacht continue to go on the form they're on, they could put pressure on the top four. And as we all know, that's where European seedings come from. So if Munster fans haven't already seen that the Champions Cup isn't to be all and end on anymore, hopefully this Saturday might show them once more that Pro 12 is where it's all about.
Pro 12, where it's all about, Jerome.
Yeah, like, it's the same thing again. You started a conversation with a negative, and that's what the Pro 12 is totally consumed with now. It's a negative. And again, all week in the papers, there's no preview of the actual game. It's all the subplots. All I've seen all week is, where's Hinshaw going? Who else is going to be signed? Madigan's going abroad. All, again, revolves around the national scene, the whole thing like that, the Starmen. No mention of the actual games. It's Connacht v Munster and preview of it.
Leinster, Ulster as well tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's, again, it's been totally, as I said a few weeks ago, we've been totally kind of sold down to Swanee in terms of provincial game, and everything is now fed from a national scene. And what, you know, what this means to the national scene, what him going abroad means to the national scene, where will this national guy go? And as a result, you get your opening comment, which is, oh my God, it's Pro 12, because that's what's fed into our heads. Like, and hence why the crowds won't come out.
Third tier or so of Irish rugby, if we say, with the national team being number one, European Cup
no,
two.
No, there's no distinction between European. The European, for me, from what I can gather, will get the exact same treatment because we're not at semi-final or quarter-final stage. It's just another game. It's totally two-tier. There's like, you can take about it as different sports. There's international rugby and then there's club rugby. And I see club rugby as Munster, not and Gary Owen.
I'm trying to. Do I have to try and stay positive, or can we continue on a negative vein?
No, but like.
No, I know what you're saying.
If
though,
we come
I
in
agree
here
with
and go,
you.
It's Munster and Connacht. How's it going to go? Who's going to be in the centres and all that? But every discussion, and it's not us. Like I'm saying, in the broader scale, you don't get that discussion.
But are people rugby out of it? Is that why there's more talk about the off-field activities than there is on-field activity for rugby? Are people sick of rugby as a result of the World Cup?
Well, I was going to make that point. Sorry, John, I was going to make that point. I think personally, and it's not just me, because I know people have said it to me as well. People are just tired of the constant 24/7 coverage of sport that has actually nothing to do with what's on the pitch. Hmm. So this week, as Jerome 100% says, and I'm not knocking any other sport, I'm not even going to mention any other sport, but it's just constant who's going where. It's only halfway through the season. They played 2 games in the Champions Cup, which used to be what people were interested in. Now they're interested in, where's Ian Madigan going? Where's Robbie Hinshaw going? How many of the Munster players are going to be hanging around?
Where's Simon Zebo going?
Exactly. A phone call yesterday about the Munster coaching ticket, which is up at the end of the season. You know, is there going to be changes there? Who's going to go in and take over from Les Kissel Ireland? You know what I mean? That's what people...
And because nationally, a lot of it is now, because we're a professional game, driven by agents slipping information, given by RFU probably slipping information, whatever. And that's why you get these stories rather than, you know, what's the center partnership going to be? Who's going to be in the front row? What we would have been discussing 10 years ago.
Yeah, you even have a conversation last week, Liam. We spoke with Francis Sayle, did an interview. And honesty is what we always want from rugby players. And he honestly said, my All Black dream isn't over. Which means he has to go home.
He has to go back, yeah.
To New Zealand. Which automatically means, well, he's only here for the 2 years and that's what he's here for. And that sometimes sticks in the throat a bit because Munster's success was built off the back of old school, you know, guys from around the area. Now, I always just look back and you could say the same for Celtic winning their first European Cup. They're all born within 10 miles of Celtic Park and then the game changed. And that's what's happening in rugby now. The game is changing. There's teams in France and England saying, well, if you're not going to play that guy in the position every week, a.k.a. Madigan, we're just going to take him. And unfortunately, as Jerome correctly says, whether Connacht win by 50 points or Munster win by 50 points on Saturday, people are still going to go, oh, well, it was only Connacht, or, oh, well, it's only the Pro 12, and actually we're not going to win. They're just disillusioned with the whole thing.
Interesting. So will Munster or Connacht win by 50 points?
Huge game, as I said. I actually, and without getting all carried away in the hyperbole of it, I think this is a massive game for Munster rugby. Massive game. If Connacht come to Thomond Park as leaders of the Pro 12 and beat Munster at home, will Munster have everyone, let's be fair, then they're in serious trouble in the sense that, like, how do you get fans to go out and support something that's even on the wane in a domestic competition and who would have fallen behind people that most Munster rugby fans would look down on? They need a win.
They need a win in terms of the whole Champions Cup thing that you said about as well, because you don't want to let that slide develop now coming into, you know, a hectic enough period and give Connacht, like, what would be an absolute massive, massive boost for Connacht to come here and win. I mean, they are on form, but a win like this would be huge for them.
Well, as it stands, by virtue of Munster not playing last weekend, they're not themselves and Ulster, because Ulster have only played one game, but the game we saw Ulster play, they were well beaten by Saracen's side. That looked very impressive. So from that point of view, looking at it now, you'd say Munster are about the only team that can get out of the knockout, the group stages of the Champions Cup. So there's a bit of momentum behind them. As I said, because they didn't play last weekend, there should be, you know, a bit of positivity around them. Should
yeah,
they
should. Like, I'm speaking to them this week, they're mad to get back playing. But you kind of look at it now and you kind of compare, you're not comparing like with like anymore, in a sense, even that Ian Keighley will start to 10 for Munster this weekend. But his backup, Tyre Blaindell, is still injured. So there's no depth at 10. Centre partnerships up against, you know, Robbie Henshaw, maybe Bundiaki, who the Munster have in there, Saile and Hurley, who haven't set the world on fire just yet. So you're almost looking at it in a case of, before it was a case of Conor Murray's out injured, doesn't look like he's going to be available this weekend with a foot injury. So now you're looking at it from a sense of beating Connacht at home was a given. Now playing Connacht at home is a 50-50 call because of the way they're structured and the way they are. And as Jerome says, and you correctly say, that then becomes a worry for people. Now, the other side of that is, if it's a 50-50 call, people might actually want to go along and watch it, but then it's live on radio and live on TV.
Yeah, 5:15 Saturday evening. We'll wait and see what way it goes. Should be an ideal time for people to go to a match as well. I don't think the forecast is great. That's about the only thing.
I think a lot of people are making it a Christmas party night out as well. Groups of friends who've bought tickets and stuff. So fingers crossed there is a crowd there, because Munster need to generate their own income. You know, if Henshaw does leave Connacht and go to Leinster, it just shows that Munster are going to have to look after themselves a hell of a lot more.
Well, I'd imagine Munster would have looked at the budgets at the start of the year and they'd have gone, right, Treviso game in the European Cup, not going to bring too many. Following week, or, you know, 2 weeks later, an interprovincial clash with Connacht might bring us 12, 15,000 people in and probably make their budgets as a result of that, but don't get that and, you know, budgets out the window, I suppose.
I think from a budgeting point of view, I think they have to sell out Leicester at home, Stade Francais at home and Leinster at home around Christmas time. That would be break-even point. Everything after that would be kind of 10, 12 grand bonus country.
Okay, well, we'll wait and see what way it works out on Saturday evening. As I say, it's a quiet enough weekend sports-wise apart from that, I think, isn't it? Right, so on we go to our review of the 2015 year in terms of GAA.
Disappointment, move on.
I feel like kind of we weren't told about this test, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you're arriving to school in the morning and you're told there's a test.
You were told this morning, yeah.
Right, it was a text from a couple of hours ago for you to go through your extensive coverage of GAA.
Which you actually responded to Jerome O'Connell. But anyway.
Please don't say what I replied.
Yeah, I won't.
He's been at 4 or 5 matches every weekend now. I hope he's checked up all his notes.
Yeah.
Since January 1.
Yeah, well, the 2015 year, I suppose, goes on for another few weeks with... we have Fenimore in Munster Junior B action on Sunday. That game is in Knockaderry. We've the Under-21 Championship, a couple of quarterfinals down for decision. And amazingly enough, group game still going on the other side of it, with Napiershig having a great win against Drum Broadford. They're playing tonight as it stands. And then again on Saturday. Yeah, so the following quarterfinals the following week. So it might be over by St. Stephen's Day. But apart from that, the GAA season has come to an end. Let's begin with the positives. Napiershig, 3 in 5 years, Munster club titles can't be underestimated.
No, awesome. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Can't speak highly enough of what they've done. Like, when you think of all the great teams, Limerick and beyond, that haven't won 3 titles in 5 years. I mean, you got to come through your own county championship, where they're now up against another top side in Kilmallock, who are, you know, in the All-Ireland final last year. They've got to go through all of Munster, beat the Clare champions, beat the Tipperary champions, beat the Waterford champions. Absolutely nothing easy. Similar in the other 3 years. It's a really, really great achievement. You know, they should be getting as much praise as will come their way. What'll cap it, what'll make them a really, really great side is, you know,
St. Patrick's
Day to win. And there's a real sense that they know that themselves now. And I think... you know, I think they've a right good chance of it. I wouldn't go as far as some people have been saying that, oh my God, it's really opened up for them. I mean, just write down on paper who Coola have in their team, for instance, and you'll see the talent they have. And Owl Artabella have been, you know, beaten in 4 of the last 5 Leinster club finals. They can't be no bad side. So I don't really buy into my, oh my God, it's there for them to win. But I mean, with everything, the firepower they have, they have a great chance.
What a win for him last Sunday, Don. I mean, at half time, the first half was appalling, let's be honest. 1-7 to 1-4, going in 3 points down. But again, you know, I think we said it a few times in commentary, and I think you said it as well, Jerome, at half time up in Thurles, that, you know, this is no new position for him, you know, that they've got so much experience now of coming from behind. But to absolutely obliterate him the way they did in the second half, Don.
To be honest with you, I'm fascinated by them. I'm fascinated by their sideline, how cool and calm did it seem to make changes, how they've all worked for them. I suppose that can be a bit of luck too. But if you, as Jerome listed off there, who they've beaten this year alone just shows the strength of character that they have. I think some of the interesting things from last weekend's win was the body language around, even after the first goal. It wasn't like, you know, let's all get carried away. We're on the way back here. This is the score. We're ahead. They're a couple of points ahead. Gunnar come back into Shane Dowling, finishes that goal at the end superbly. Again, massive character. And as we spoke about, I think, last week and even on the radio on Friday, it's not the big names that are winning these games. So if you can get 3 months of club titles in 5 years, that's one thing. But unbeaten, as we say, in Munster Club Championship is another. But also to beat the calibre of team you've beaten this year, then you think this year is their year to win the All-Ireland. Plus, they've learnt their lessons from the 2 previous campaigns when they went out and everyone expected them to march on to St. Patrick's Day, and they didn't. They haven't even gotten to a final. So the box is to tick, which means that the drive, the character, the focus that they have still hasn't even been reached.
You look at what Limerick has achieved in terms of club hurling. 3 in a row now, Munster titles, All-Ireland finalists last year in Kilmallock, beaten by Ballyhale. And you look at what happened to Limerick senior hurlers this year, if we move on to them. No understatement, say a bitterly disappointing year, despite beating Clare in the opening round of the Munster Championship.
Yeah, totally. I mean, there's no way to camouflage it or no way to dress it up. A below par season, probably from start to finish, just always simmering underneath and just never managing to you know, bring it to the boil at any point, despite, you know, us knowing, and that was a frustrating thing, knowing that there was talent there, and just didn't manage to bring it all together in this season in any game.
Did the extended run that the Kilmallock players have an influence in it? And are we looking at the same thing happening
again?
If we
are,
next
year? We have the exact same thing coming down the line, because potentially if Napiershig do get to March 17, they miss the entire round robin league. Series of the league. I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, if you're depending on only having probably 11 players plus one other club, you know, ultimately, are you good enough to win an All-Ireland? You're probably not. You know, you need a strength in depth. So if you can't do it without one batch of club players, we had a few injuries as well. I don't know. Look, it's very hard to weigh the pros and cons. A Limerick team to win a club title that we've never won before, I think that has to be a boost, and it has to be the old thing of, you know, rising tides and all of that. But it is a problem if I was a manager of a team to be thinking, yeah, I'm facing into a league and I could be missing 4, 5, 6 possibilities.
And given how disappointing the league was in 2015, because, you know, for many of the games, and we got caught ultimately in the Offaly game, but for many of the games, Limerick were performing in the first half or something, then switching off, and the case in point was when we went up north, up to Antrim, and no, it was a horrific day, and the pitch was absolutely horrific, but, you know, Limerick were very poor in the first half and got it about over the line. That was the story of the league, really, wasn't it?
I don't know.
They were doing just about enough.
Pick any of the descriptions you want, like it was sluggish, cumbersome. You know, there was just no zip to them.
It could sum up all the league, all the games in the league, really.
And you could, you know, we thought then, okay, it was the league. We've done this for the last couple of years. We've, you know, having been at peak in the league, and we've pulled it around in the championship, and we thought, yeah, we trust them, they can do it again. You know, it didn't happen.
They did against Clare, but was that a bad Clare side? It was a bad game.
It was a bad game, yeah. And we thought, you know what, they're after getting over the line here, give them the benefit of the doubt. They're, you know, they'll peak the next day. They can do it. But the Clare game was it, like.
I think at a certain level of, particularly inter-county, and TJ touched on it in his breakfast speech there a couple of weeks ago, I think experience is a huge thing. So, like, off-the-field stuff like strength and conditioning, how to manage a team coming back into your squad that have played continuously for the year previous, like Kilmallock, like Napiershey this year. How to target the first round of the championship but not peak for it. How to re-peak again 5 weeks later. How to kick on. Which, if you look back at it, kind of, that's what Kilkenny do. They bring in a team that's probably gone late in Leinster Championship, if not Ballyhale, who won an All-Ireland club title, perform to a certain standard in the league, and then kick on again. And Limerick probably only learning how to do that, because the jump from 1B to the championship is getting bigger and bigger every year. They don't have the experience of hurling against massive teams every week and then going on. Even from a strength and conditioning point of view, hurling against bigger, faster men in bigger, faster games, it's hard to do. And they probably are learning 5-10% every year. Unfortunately for Limerick fans, it's not enough for every year, but hopefully you'll see an improvement this year.
Not making excuses, and people give out to me now saying, oh, look, he is there. He is making excuses for his friend TJ again. But last year was his first year as solo manager. Because, you know, and back in 2013, Donal O'Grady had been there for the league and departed after the league. And I'm sure very easy to raise players for championship then. But last year was his first full run league championship as solo manager, if you like. Lessons learnt, obviously, you know, change of backroom team as well this year. Is this the year now that TJ has to produce something on his own?
Like, is this the year for Limerick? This is the year every year for Limerick. You know, it's...
But you, as take off the journalistic hats here now. What is a good year for Limerick in 2016? Is it just to get out of the league? Is it to win a Munster again? Is it to win an All-Ireland? Realistically now, given what we've seen this year with the 21s and minors over the last few years.
So many things at play. The first thing is, how many under-21s will they look to, or can they integrate into a team? If they go wholesale and they were to get out of the league with a very young side and do reasonable in a championship, you'd say, right, they've set,
like Watford,
you know, they've set serious foundations. You'd say, grand, you know, they're young guys. If you go with the same team again, you know, plus one or two, maybe three, and you know, don't get out of your league and you fall flat in the championship, then you're thinking, you know, that's not good enough. So there's, you know, to say what's going to happen in 9 months' time, very hard to do. You just hope that they perform, you know, because ultimately it's a management team's group job, and it's a management team to get the best out of your players. Did we do that in 2015? No. So for me, you know, I mean, you can hurl an absolute storm and be beaten by a better team in an All-Ireland final. I don't think you can, you know, have qualms. If you go out of your championship with a whimper, well, then there's questions to be asked.
I think winning the Division 1B buys him a huge amount of time. It buys him a year.
It does, but then...
Because he'll come back in as coach for one.
If you flop in your championship, then people have very short memories.
When you talk about...
Yes, the league is massive. Like.
But as you just said there, championship is a huge thing because flopping is... I won't say it's... It's irrelevant depending on who you play.
Yeah.
You could flop, so-called flop. You could be beaten in Turles by 5 points by the eventual Ireland champions 3 months later. You know, and then it's relative. You were beaten by the All-Ireland champions. Or as you say, you go out and Dublin outthink you and outscore you and, you know, guys rack up cricket scores on their own and you don't make changes, then you have to learn from that. But if he wins, or Limerick win and TJ wins Division 1B and they're in 1A, I think that almost buys him a free run at the championship, which is a lot of pressure off because everyone in the county will be going... I know, weirdly enough, they'll be saying, we're in 1A now next year.
But
Kilkenny, Tip will be coming to town. They'll all be excited about the following season and the league is
here. We are now beginning to second-guess Limerick supporters, which is a very dangerous thing to do. You win the league, then expectations start to rise. You don't do well in Munster. And as Jerome said, fans have shot memories and they go, well, but it's, you know, we should have got out of 1B 6 years ago.
Einstein's definition of insanity is to keep continue doing the same thing, expecting a different outcome. If you continue to change your coach every 2 to 3 seasons, you are never going to win Ireland. I don't think there's, at this stage in this, and the way how professional hurling is, you're going to get a one and done coach who's going to walk in, deliver Liam McCarthy and head away. I just don't think it's going to happen. Particularly when you've minor, 21, success coming up along behind. You can't just get rid of the guy to top. That's nothing to do with TJ. That's any coach. And go, yeah, look, he didn't win 2 there, get him out. Particularly if he wins 1B.
We'll wait and see. But if you were marking 2015 from a hurlers out of 10, you'd struggle to give him 5, wouldn't you? Or would you? For the Clare win?
Like if you're writing a note at the bottom anyway, it's like,
much do better.
Can do better, or, you know, yeah. Have to do better, or, you know.
Didn't get out of the league, didn't win the championship game when it really mattered.
Like,
fail.
I think, you know.
Be Clare.
Yeah.
When everyone went into the middle of the pitch and tried to hit each other, no.
Yeah, not a good year. Not a good year. And I don't think, you know, you can't dress up this year.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know.
4 out of 10, so must improve. Yeah. Generally consensus. Teachers here.
I'm right. Anti-player ratings.
We won the Watford Crystal thing way back.
There you go. Jeez, yeah.
Yeah, that's 4 out of 10 is a pass.
That seems like years ago now at this stage, that Watford Crystal win below Mallow.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten about that, actually. The footballers, senior footballers. Let's go senior teams while we're going. Senior footballers. I suppose a good league campaign in that Division 3 status was secured. The blip was loss of Munster Championship, I would imagine. Same as previous year.
Yeah. Like, the league was a job well done because, like I was talking about, maybe next year with the hurlers, you were still integrating, like we were the previous year, a lot of young guys, giving them, you know, throwing them in the deep end. And they stayed, you know, it stayed up in what is a competitive group. The first round of the championship was, you know...
Disaster.
I mean, like,
the first half of the first round.
Yeah, like that next year, like that's the game. Like you have to win in the Munster Championship. Gone too many years now without winning, especially when we've had games that we could and should be winning. So that's a massive game next year. Did reasonable in qualifiers, but Munster Championship next year, because of the last 2 years, Munster Championship is massive.
Oh, yeah, 100% agreed. Like, was the year before last, you know, teams could have gone up and down on the last day of Division 3 and it was too close for comfort. Last year, they had it secured comfortable enough, as Jerome says, then just fell completely flat on their face in the championship. And then you start entering into second tiers of second tiers because Cork and Kerry are Cork and Kerry. And that's a worry for recruiting players to a panel, getting players to pick up a football and want to play Gaelic football for Limerick. So championship wins on top of Division 3 status are huge.
Division 3 is a fair old competition.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's the toughest division, I think. Because a lot of Division 2 teams have their eye on early championship games. You know, would think they might win their provincial crown, whereas everyone in Division 3 and 4 is just out for wins. And that's their season. Three,
yeah. To be fair, it takes a lot out of you then. Like, you know, but I mean, ultimately, when you come to the championship, we've been playing teams that have been through the same thing. So, I mean, you know, you've no excuses that way. But I think, you know, I think we can give a little bit of... little bit of rope to them for the last 2 years because of how they've been, you know, changing the look of the panel. But I think next year it's, you know, it's back to the walls when that championship comes around. It's a must win.
So for the footballers this year, out of 10?
I think job well done. Yeah, I think like the Tyrone game, the qualifiers, could they have won it?
They were probably never going to win it.
It would have needed something special from someone in the forwards to just do it. But still, I thought they went up there with a good tactical plan. Mm. They implemented it well. The young players really stood up on the day. They were beaten, ultimately. But, you know...
Positives to take out of it.
Positives with the young team that it was and how they went about it. Yeah. So I think it was a reasonable year, yeah.
Okay, 21 footballers then, of course, had a right old shot at it, didn't they? And were it not for some very, very soft goals...
Yeah, could have easily beaten Cork in that game. And again, it was some of those guys that were in that team that stood up later in the year for the seniors as well. And that's, you know, they've been unearthed. You know, to be fair, they're not coming through a really well-oiled underage academy system at the moment. So, you know, in fairness to Jan Bruder and the guys, they've dug out some of these, put them into the deep end. And in fairness to the players, they've responded. 21's like, you know, that was nearly a very memorable night.
It was.
And if 21s is a breeding ground, look, they looked at the guys that performed that night, and you know, some of them, they moved them straight into the seniors set up within weeks.
Yeah, I remember being in Fermanagh a couple of weeks, or the week after it, I think, wasn't it? And we had Fermanagh right on the ropes in the league game, and a stirring first half performance, and Garrod Hegarty just absolutely wilted in the second half because he had a super effort, I think, for the seniors the previous Sunday, the 21s on the Wednesday night, where he was superb, and then on to the senior game in Fermanagh, which ultimately was just a step too far for him. But
I think, just because obviously the 21s and the seniors have a very close connection, particularly in football, I think a lot has to be said about how their intent to play the game for a minnow of 34 counties, whatever it is, they play in the football championship. They do play a nice brand of football. They look to play football, which is something that needs to be heralded, I think. It's easy to sit back, play everyone behind the ball and try and play a massive counter-attack. Okay, sometimes against Tyrone they had to, but other than that, they play a bit of ball.
Yeah. Minor footballers had their first win in Munster Championship, which is always welcome. Unfortunately, got a bit of a trimming in against Clare, wasn't it? Beat Waterford, beaten by Clare.
Yeah, like that was not pretty outside Ninas to lose to Clare in the fashion they did. And, you know, you kind of put your finger on the pause button and you say, okay, they're not coming through, you know, an underage setup. But still, you'd be thinking, okay, Clare aren't exactly setting the world alive with their underage setups for the last couple of years. We should be beating them, or we could be beating them, or we could be closer to them. Like the minor for the last couple of years has not been good. There's no way, you know, another way to look at it. The results have been terrible. We're kind of waiting, you know, holding our breath, thinking this, you know, underage setup is now in place and we need to wait 3 years. It's just hard to kind of hold your breath and wait for that to happen.
Yeah.
But you have to trust in it. It's there now, at least. But like, minor is, you know, the results aren't good. But yet, thankfully, when you look at the young guys that have come through onto Jan Bruder's panel, you're thinking, right, there's something there somewhere. How were these guys in the same minor team and they were a disaster?
Yeah.
But look, they're coming through, so...
Well, it was great to get that win. I remember that win out in Newcastle West. It was a fantastic night. It was a smash and grab, let's be honest. I know it was against Waterford, but those were games in the last few years that we were losing.
I know the
defeat...
the year before.
I'm grasping at straws here, maybe. But, you know, I was delighted for Gerry Sullivan in particular, who's put in a lot of work with this minor squad over the last few years and eventually got the result. And then, unfortunately, to see it all go so pear-shaped 7 days later down in Ennis was... But look, something to build on, I suppose, for next year, and maybe get 2 wins next year in the minor championship. Next year's minor team, from what I can gather, are one of the better teams to come through from underage level. So we'll wait and see. Before we move away from football and we'll go on to 21s and minor hurlers, Stephen Lucy retired during the week, and we could talk about him in both hurling and football, but seeing as his latest renaissance up to now was with the footballers... A huge tower, a great character, lost to Limerick GA now and retired. And I just, my own personal opinion here is that I felt that he should have got a run above in Tyrone this year. when Limerick were playing Tyrone above in Healy Park. I thought he should have come on at some stage in the game, but that's just my own personal opinion.
You're a sentimental, you know, it's prepared.
He's given so much to Limerick GA, and you know,
there's no room for sentimentalism.
Okay, there's not.
That's why you haven't cut it as management. You didn't progress beyond the ridge.
There you go. Right, but anyway, a word about Stephen Lucy.
I saw one lunatic on Twitter saying that some people loved him and some people hated him. I would put Stephen Lucy in my team any day of the week. Absolutely any
that
day of the week.
That lunatic was me, by the way.
That was you, yeah. I would be a fan.
I mean, he
came in for stick, like, and he just that character. But he's the character I would want in my dressing room. Hmm. I have no problem with a guy laughing, joking, doing whatever he wants. But, I mean, if you ever saw Stephen Lucy cross the line, and I can't remember, was it Morris Horan or Richie in the piece I did with him this week, spoke about it. Once he crossed the line, whether it was training or a match, he just switched on, went into a place. And, I mean, he absolutely gave everything. And, like, I think from football, he was an outstanding centre-back. You know, just an out-and-out centre-back.
One of the most underrated ones in...
Yeah, he was, yeah. Morris Horan said, we were never caught in the middle while he was there. And, I mean, he was there for 10-odd years.
Even up to this year, people were saying, geez, yeah, Lucy could still do a job for us there in centre-back/full-back.
Yeah, really, really good, you know, to be fair to him. And just drove that team on, you know, that football team. I mean, that was a football team, you know, he played and lost in 4 Munster football finals. You know, your heart would break, like, because we could have won all 4 of them. But I can tell you, we didn't lose any of them by his lack of performance. As a hurling fullback, it's a hard place to be at times. And I think, to be fair, I'm not quite sure he let us down too often either. People will talk and, like, that moment in 2009.
I was just about to say to her he's been pillared for it. But
the one thing that comes back to me is your fullback goes out and attacks the ball. Like, 14 players, maybe not the goalkeeper, 13 players can go and attack the same ball and you can go through, you know, go past them and someone else will pick it up. Your fullback, you get crucified for things like that. But, I mean, I wouldn't hold that over 17 years of a career, you know.
I agree. And plus, he was out in front of his man, which is where every fullback should be, out attacking the ball. Just unfortunate that it went through, and the rest, as they say, is history, but from that game in 2009. But, yeah, I agree with you. For me, he was one of the ones that... But I do think he's one of these characters, and I call him a character for the obvious reasons, that people love to hate, you know. And there's a lot of people out there.
I think he was an easy target, though. Dual code, you know. So he had the entire county willing to have a go at him when we lost
West Limerick,
and slap him on the back when we won. A doctor, you know,
bit of a character as well.
Bubbly guy, played with UCD, played with Croom, played with Limerick at all underage levels. At one stage, I'd say he must have been playing about 4 or 5 teams all in one go. As you say, never let Limerick down. But the main thing for me, and even watching, and I suppose most of the football games when they're quiet, was an incredible talker on the pitch. An incredible brain, incredible movement, centre-back in football. Talk about being exposed in the middle of a large area with a big ball. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal warrior. A guy that was just going to go out, and 9 times out of 10... put in the physical challenge that needed to be put in on someone in a game, often turn the game with an interception or a big heavy hit, particularly in football. And as Jerome says, in hurling, that moment he's remembered for is probably what Stephen Lucy was remembered for, is going straight out and balls out for something and, yeah, missed it. Big wow. You know, these things happen. It's an odd-shaped ball. It's a funny game. 17 years of dual status, I suppose, nearly in football. It was just incredible.
And, like, you mentioned there how he never stopped talking on the field, and he doesn't, like, you know, I mean, you'd hear him in the commentary box on the quiet days when there didn't too many around, but, like, his absolute passion for, and, like, this wasn't put on, or this wasn't for, it was
for
absolute,
show, yeah.
It wasn't for show, you know. I think people kind of thought it, maybe it was for show, but, I mean, if you get to half know the guy at all, this was real. Like, he really, you know, it was his life, you know. I mean, you'd feel for his girlfriend and things, like, because, you know, he gave it absolutely everything. And I remember, I think it was the Kildare game, yeah, in Tullamore, is it? We lost after the extra time.
Oh, no, Portlaoise.
Portlaoise, yeah, it was Portlaoise. Yeah. I remember, like, you know, that horrible thing of standing outside the dressing room, like, and, I mean, there was tears everywhere, you know. I mean, there wasn't a sinner wanted to talk to you afterwards, and there you are trying to get someone to, you know, give you a few quotations, whatever. And like, that dressing room was, that was one of the worst football dressing rooms, Munster finals maybe aside. They really, really thought they could have won that. And Stephen Lucy was the last guy out of the dressing room, and he was distraught, like. But what was he doing in the dressing room? He was collecting, if I remember rightly at the time, it was Lucasaid Sport caps, because his club in Croom were collecting for underage gear. And there he was, collecting underage caps from Lucasaid Sport. I was like, oh my God, you know, he couldn't even look you in the eye because he was so distraught after it. But yet here he was, like, and you know, that's him, like, he's been involved in the club for the last couple of years at underage and different things. And I think he's a massive loss. Like, I mean, I'd put him into a hurling or a football team now, and I mean, he adds something to it, you know.
Yeah, I'm delighted he's staying involved with the footballers, and obviously it's under sad circumstances that his father, Mick, who's the football team doctor, is unwell at the moment. But Stephen filling his boots, and you know, I'm sure we'll cross paths with the doc at some stage over the league campaign with the footballers. But yeah, a big loss, no doubt, on the field, but glad that he's remaining off the field. The minor hurlers then this year, lads. Don is shaking his head here.
Just losing three times in the championship.
Yeah.
So difficult to comprehend, you know. Such a talented group of players. That Galway game was so disappointing. So flat in Turles that day.
We have expectations for our minor team now. It's like I mentioned earlier that the football, you know, we're waiting for the underage setup to come, and we'll give it 2 or 3 years. But the hurling, it's smack bang there. We're told everything has been done, you know, spot on. So therefore, our expectation rises, you know. And we've won Munster finals. We've been in All Ireland finals. We expect that to continue every single year. Ultimately, their job is to bring true guys onto a senior setup, which hopefully they will now do. But I mean, they were very, very close this year. Very, very close. And there was a couple of key players maybe that just didn't absolute, you know, sparkle on 1 or 2 days when they needed them. And yet they were so close. When you look at the two teams who they lost to, and then look at the All-Ireland final, they were close without really deserving it.
That day in Thurles, the Munster Minor Hurling final, we were kept in it by Casey, you know, taking frees and that. But still, at the end of the game, we weren't all that far away. You felt it's a game that we could easily have won as easily have lost.
Yeah, I'm like, they were still doing a little bit of chaplain changing, just trying to, I don't know, was it to get their best 15 on the field or get them in the best places, or just trying to spark one or two into life that, you know, they probably from the outset of the year thought would carry the team a bit. But like, they were agonisingly close without being at their best. And, you know, you'd like to think that some of those players will still go on and be top 21s and top options for seniors within 3 years or 4 years. The important thing is that they continue to do the things right. You know, if you go out next year and you lose your first round game and then you're beaten in your next round, you know, in your back doors, I won't say you'd accept it, but if everything is continuing to be done right and the guys are getting the best training to set them up to be the best seniors down the line, well, that's exactly what you want at minor level.
And obviously the production line is working.
Well, it's working when you see that some of these guys have gone back then and starred with their club adult teams, or, you know, done well with club 21 level. Then, you know, it's working. And if you look at, you know, physically, how is the strength and conditioning going and all of that, like, if they're buying into all that, your minor setup in your hurling academy is doing what it should be doing.
That's it then, isn't it, from GA Sporting year? There was nothing else. No,
just something there that's been racking in the back of my brain.
Go on. There's of course one other team that we haven't discussed, but go on.
Those football teams that last the 4 months or finals.
Oh, you could cry, couldn't you?
What a generation of footballers.
Yeah.
Like, if you had half of them now, no offence to anyone involved currently, but they were such a... Like, Mirish Gavin.
Stephen, like, Lavin.
They were 4 games away from...
Paul Reedy.
And, like, you almost had two teams. You didn't quite have two teams.
Yeah, John Quan's team led into...
And then you had 8, 9 and 10.
Yeah, yeah.
11.
Owen Keating, Stokes, you know, just...
You know, like, they were great days. We probably didn't appreciate them at the time, but, I mean, when you look back at someone playing and losing in 4 months for football finals from Limerick, you think, oh God. But yeah, they were great days.
How did we not get over the line in one of them?
You know, how have we not looked back to see how we produced that crop? What have we changed since, sir? was it just the one soft ball in generation?
Well, I think Liam Kearns had brought him through.
That's
from,
my point. My next point, the question know, I was asking it? You was, Munster Rugby now have no connection with 2008. That link is now broken. This golden generation is gone. Do people look back and see why they came about? And you know, Liam Kearns obviously taken over Tipperary. Is it prudent now to have everyone connected, as we said, 21 senior, starting with a minor?
Yeah, like that. I have to admit, I haven't been talking to anyone in Tipperary since, but it's a very peculiar one to have your minor manager, is it? He's also the 21 manager, and he's also a selector with the seniors and the juniors. Jeez, he won't be seen at home for a night.
But unless they're all training together, maybe.
Yeah, I haven't been talking to anyone in Tipperary. I don't know, but it's...
Some mileage.
Brian McDonald might tweet us and let us know, because no doubt he's listening.
He wouldn't know anything about football.
But that's also another issue across all codes in junior soccer as well lately, is how young, because of time commitments and, you know, strength and conditioning programs, how young sport is. So you're 18, you're 18, you're minor, you're 21, and you're senior. They could all train together effectively.
As I said, there's one age group that we haven't spoken about, which brought us so much joy this year, the Limerick under 21 hurlers. They were fantastic, weren't they? A year where, with all greatest respects to them, so little was kind of expected from them at the start of the year. Is that a fair comment?
I know, I definitely tipped them to win the All-Ireland.
Did you?
I did not know. I mean, look, you probably thought that they were going to be a year too early.
Yeah,
that's ultimately
next
what,
year was the year.
Yeah,
I think
that's ultimately what we would have thought. We would have said, right, okay, they've got maybe 4 21s, 5 21s in their starting team. I wonder, will they be a bit raw? It'll be a great learning experience for next year. That's probably what we would have trotted out.
We'll get a win, which we haven't got since.
Yeah, and
we went
exactly.
To win
we had like four managers in 4 years, four defeats, whatever.
And Dan holds his hands up and says, "My point proven exactly."
Yeah, but then one came in and did it. So
I wouldn't consider John Kiley a one and done now. Yeah, I've worked with a lot of those guys.
But they were brilliant. Like, you know, what raw passion, pace, speed of movement, speed of hurling, the intelligent hurling they displayed. Like everything about them was top class. And I guess, you know, that's what happens when you're all Ireland champions.
Sorry, is it becoming the championship of the summer?
It is for us, like, but I'm sure if you go to Kilkenny or Tipperary, they'll go 21 hurling. Who won that?
The last couple of years, even, I just think it's such an enjoyable championship to watch. Maybe it's because it's pure knockout.
It's totally because it's pure knockout. Mm. Yeah, it's you know, both teams buy into it on a night. You just go out and you say, right, if we lose, we're gone. Like, what's the point in, you know,
like a Wexford Kilkenny Leinster final in Nolan Park is live on TV. Good atmosphere around it, big crowd. You wouldn't normally catch yourself watching.
But it's like you said earlier, the stars of the game are now younger.
Mm.
So you, at 21 level now, you can conceivably have like your hurler of the year playing. He's no longer just the young hurler of the year. He can actually be hurler of the year. And
if it's given profile raises, the profile of 21 is the minor.
You've got a lot of stars playing 21 now.
A highlight of the year from the 21s. Was it the winning of the All-Ireland? Or?
Yeah. Like it probably wasn't the greatest game. But I mean, at the end of the day, you know, look down through the roll of honour there and see how many All-Irelands we have. And, like, you know, unfortunately, we're of the age for, you know, we haven't seen any seniors. So, I mean, any day you tick that box and win an All-Ireland, you're going, right, happy days, we'll take that.
I thought the night in Ennis was a
huge match. Yeah, it was.
That's the one, you know, obviously when you win an All-Ireland, that's never going to be forgotten. But I don't think I'll forget the night in Ennis going in 4 points down. Start of the second half and think, you know, against three-time Munster and All-Ireland champions, and that was the night for me. It kind of went, jeez, this is, you know, we have a bunch here that could do something.
Yeah.
The performance in the All-Ireland final.
The manner of the...
Just, for a Limerick team, it was almost weird watching it, going, is this, this team in green, this is not All-Ireland final, they're meant to panic and, you know, kind of choke halfway near the end of this. They just blew them out of the water.
Yeah.
Wexford are a great side.
Unfortunately, I become very tunnel vision on a day, like when you're working and it's, you know, it's notes and you're observing whatever. But I can see the crowd coming out of, you know, the corners of my two eyes onto the field. I can see Dermot Burns going up, you know, under the stand, scoring a point. And it's just in for me, it just hit me. Wow, like everything they trained for, everything they did on the coaching ground, everything they were told on a day of an All-Ireland final, to bring all that together that's an unbelievable thing from a management point of view and from a player's point of view. I mean, you can do 1,000 drills, but like to go out and do it on an Ireland final day, you know, is a massive thing. And not against a gimme team, against a team 3/4 of whom had been in the final last year. I just thought it was wow, like, you know, that's exactly as a coach and as a player, you would take that any day of the week.
Just an interesting one from a coaching point of view. I think in the Pearcy's backroom team and that Limerick under 21 backroom team, it's vital that they remain in Limerick hurling, because they will be top of the list for other counties to have a look at.
Well, the 21s are back anyway, management team as a whole for next season.
Just long term, if
yeah.
Like, we've had the case before where Clare won at Ireland and people were saying Shorty Buffin and Paul Clark, and why didn't we have them? Like, do you know, we have excellent coaches as well as players in the county. Just make sure we all want them now.
Yeah, fair point. The ladies' teams in Gaelic games didn't have the best of years, I think it's fair to say, for them.
Well, Camogie, it was...
First year back.
Yeah, like, it was a bit of a foundation being set there. Like, and they were very... They were hard hit with a couple of key injuries as well that probably limited their options and forced them to... I know they've great crop of that minors coming through, but they, you know, I think maybe they were just went a little bit threadbare on the options that they had. They would have been probably happy with the league. And, like, they got an absolute stinker of a draw in the championship. I mean, it was, you know, all the contenders plus Limerick put them into a group, you know, barring one or two. So, I mean, it was a horrible draw. You know, it wasn't even like they got half of the contenders. They pretty much got them all in the one group. So, you know, I think they did reasonable out of it. They'll obviously have a new management, and with Joe Quaid moving on and everything now coming in. So this is probably a big year for them again to ensure that the massive stride forward they've made in standards is maintained. Ladies football, they're probably they're back at where maybe Camogie was 3 years ago and trying to put that imprint on it now. And, you know, I think the talent is probably starting to come through at ladies football level year after year now. You're seeing more clubs develop. So they should have the more options. There's a couple more clubs trying to make the step up to play senior within the county and maybe not just, you know, 3 clubs or whatever it was for a couple of years. So I think they're probably where Camogie were 3 years ago. And it's for someone to, you know, grab that by the neck now and pull up the standards.
Last but by no means least, the club champions of the year across all grades, I suppose, we've spoken about in the Pearshig, Newcastle West in the senior football. You look at Clonmel this weekend, you know, in the Munster Club final, and you get even sicker as the days go on. Does it show that maybe, you know, with a bit of belief and a bit of something behind you, that Limerick football clubs aren't a million miles off?
The post-match interview with Newcastle West this year in Clonmel Commercials Ground was one of my highlights of the year.
With Mike Quilligan?
Probably one of the most honest interviews I've ever done, anyway. He was very, very quick to point out that his team and his team's failings were the reason behind it. You know, he said a width of a post with a shot could have gotten them the win, but he just said that they didn't perform well enough on the day and they didn't get through. And that's the worst thing you say about the Clonmel game. They were so there for a beat.
Yeah.
Six unanswered points in the second half. Can't get out of your own half. So disappointing.
I don't mean to rub it in, but... Yeah, I don't even think I'll watch TG Cahir on Sunday. Just...
Is that live?
I presume it is. It's,
well, you've got Coola and Owlert as well, and I think the Ulster club could be on as well, so I haven't seen what's live. But
won't be listening to Tip FM or C103 anyway, that's one thing for sure. With no disrespect to any of my colleagues in those two radio stations.
It could very easily have a Limerick club team in a club final on Sunday, you know. And Dan was right, like, Newcastle West, you know, it probably haunted him a little bit that they left it after him. Maybe, you know, after Sunday they might be able to move on a little bit once the Munster club final's over, but they just didn't perform. And other than that, they had an absolutely outstanding year, you know. And, you know, that's probably the thing for them to look at, because it was a top class year for them, in fairness. You know, did absolutely everything spot on, and, you know, I think they probably yearn for that Limerick title, in fairness.
You have to ask sometimes what is success, and if they're sitting down over the Christmas dinner or New Year's Day when they might have a meeting or whatever about next year, they would have bitten your hand off to be county champions.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, lads. You're making me feel a bit better.
We're still in dinner 21.
Going into
You'll
the
be
weekend.
Drinking out of a cup on Christmas Eve, few points.
No, that's all finished now. I'd say we've even lost the cups at this stage. You think I'm joking. Just in terms of clubs, any other surprise team to watch out for that disappointed you maybe in the club championship this year, Jerome? Or
I think the hurling and Fairless, I think like the re-emergence of Patrick Swell is a good thing because, you know, they went toe-to-toe with a lot of the big guns this year. They beat Kilmallock in the group stages and went toe-to-toe with Napiershig in the Limerick final, and they're two of the last Munster champions, so they're a third team at the top.
Yep.
And you still got Doon, who, you know, knocking everyone thinks door. They're coming, like, and you've got Adair who are there. So that's five teams of a standard. I think that's fair to say there's that five, and it's for one or two more to push up to that level. But still, from you know, Kilmallock and Napiershig are still the two to beat. In football, football is becoming harder to gauge. I mean, you still got to beat Drumbradford,
yep,
to, you know, to be the county champions, really. But an interesting next year, I would think, because, you know, I think Ballylanders, Drum are going to the table again, going to the well again.
St. Pat's,
like, are, you know, a bit of an enigma, like, will they or won't they?
Put them in the same category.
This year. Harder to call it, you know. I think Newcastle West would probably be rightly maybe favourites from the outset again if you know, if everything is right there.
Okay.
And the Napiershig footballers, like, absolutely unbelievable to beat Drumbradford the other night by, I don't know what it was, 24, 48 hours after a couple of them playing in a Munster club final. Like, they could have been in the senior football quarter final this year,
yeah,
were it not for a really insecure start, like, in two of their games back in senior ranks. They weren't really sure of themselves. Then after that, like, they went away and they, you know, beat some quality teams and could easily have been in a quarter final. Like, fair play to them, you know. It's unreal that the likes of David Dempsey, Alan Dempsey, William O'Donoghue, maybe one or two more, Podge Kennedy, were combining both. And, you know, I wouldn't like them in my football group next year.
Okay. Well, we're looking forward to 2016 already. It should be a good year. General consensus, crystal ball gazing.
I'm sure there's a twist or turn before the end of the year is out. I wouldn't...
If we were to predict that we'd win them all, we'd surely be right with one.
Oh, we'll take them all, yeah. We'll take one of them. Yeah. We'll take one of them, not all of them. Right. Okay.
I know which one I'd like.
Okay, lads. Thank you, Don and Jerome. I think a good review of the year, honest review, and looking forward to 2016. Don O'Sullivan of the Limerick Post, Jerome O'Connell of the Limerick Leader, thanks for joining us on the Sporting Limerick podcast, and we'll talk to you next week.